Hey guys, make sure to join us for the 2022 Phoenix Magazine Dish Fest coming February 27th at the Clayton House in Scottsdale. The breezy, open, indoor-outdoor environment will include bites and samples from many of the restaurants and dishes featured in our current issue, the 101 Best Dishes in the Valley. Again, that's February 27th at the Clayton House. Look for all the info online right now on the homepage at phoenixmag.com.
This week on Desert Digest, the dining podcast of Phoenix Magazine, we've got Clay and Susan Caldwell of Caldwell County Barbecue, which if you're a barbecue fan, you know all about them. They're wonderful. They're in studio talking about what they're doing, and we have news and notes from Valley Dining all this week on Desert Digest. Okay, very exciting week in dining right now, mostly because of our in-studio guests. It's great. We've got Clay and Susan Caldwell. They're the owners of Caldwell County Barbecue, which is a premier barbecue place in the East Valley. Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good. Hi, thanks. Good to be here.
You might also know them from their former work or their work in with a restaurant called Waldo's Barbecue, which was a classic place. And well, I knew the Mesa location. Was that the original location?
Yes, it was. Greenfield and Main and Mesa.
Yeah. And you're also participating in our Dish Fest food festival coming up at the end of the month. We'll talk about all that. And I kind of want to talk barbecue philosophy with you because it is fascinating the way it's evolved over the years. But we also will get into some news and notes here. We also have Leah Lemoine, our might be managing editor at Phoenix Magazine. Hey, Leah.
Hey, Craig.
Now, Leah does our weekly news dining roundup every week on our food blog, Desert Digest at phoenixmag.com. Anything, news items that you thought particularly were interesting the last week or two, Leah?
You know, I haven't done my roundup for this week. I know that, an interesting one that for former podcast guest Claudio Urcioli is opening a new, they call it fast fine dining or something like that, Mediterranean concept with the Thai chili to go fella. So I'm excited for that because obviously we love anything Claudio does.
Anything Claudio is great. His current restaurant, Paula, is fantastic. Have you guys ever been by chance?
No, we haven't.
It's a downtown one. Now, you guys are based in Chandler. How often do you get to Central Phoenix?
We're actually in Gilbert.
Oh, you're in Gilbert.
But we're pretty nomadic with our dining. If something sounds good, we'll drive for it.
Oh, bless you. That's my philosophy, too. He does, Claudio does the seafood, kind of upscale seafood place downtown called Paula. Wonderful restaurant. But yeah, great to see him get into another project because everything he touches seems like, you know, turns to gold. You know, speaking of new restaurants, I went to this place called Kura Sushi, which is in the, it's that 20th Street Camelback area near Town and Country across the street from it. And it's, you know, it's conveyor belt sushi. So I was a little skeptical. They sent out a media thing and, you know, an invite, that kind of deal. And I actually really enjoyed it. The sushi was really good for, you know, conveyor belt sushi. $3 for nigiri. It was just a lot of fun. It was a fun concept. So that was kind of the coolest thing I've done the last couple of weeks. Go ahead, Lee.
Did you eat enough to get the prize? That's the cool thing with Kura is if you eat like 15 plates or something, you kind of like return them like a bank chute and then you get a prize.
There is this in like really Japanese fashion. There's this like gizmo toy dispenser that looms above your table. And once you, as you say, eat 15 nigiri or a couple of rolls, it spits out this kind of fun little toy. It was like a keychain. It was nice.
I mean, give them to your boys.
Right. You usually don't get a keychain when you eat sushi. Fun place. I talked to the owner. He wasn't the owner. He's like the manager. He goes around the country and opens them. They're multiplying like, you know, COVID viruses. I mean, they're just everywhere. And they have this whole machinery or this kind of rig they set up, you know, and they mass produce them and they find a building that has the right footprint and they just kind of construct it there, you know, and they, I think they import their own fish. I mean, it's just a well-oiled machine. all that being said, this I've had much, much more mediocre sushi at regular sushi restaurants. It was actually pretty good. I mean, you say you guys are dining nomads. Caldwell, what have you done in the last couple of weeks that you really liked? Anything you've tasted or been that you got you excited?
Yeah, the last food we chased actually went into Central Phoenix, Thai food.
Oh, really?
It's a little place. The husband works the front, and the wife, who I didn't meet, is in the back.
Oh, I think you're talking about Gly Barn.
Yeah. My daughter took us there, and we've
taken three other couples there on three separate occasions. It was so good.
It's a home run every time, right?
It's a little bit scary. It's scary for us Gilbert kids. It's a little bit scary after dark, and it makes it all that much funner.
Yeah, that's a rough part of town. Yeah, that's a great restaurant. They do. I mean, because you know what, I love Thai food. Everyone, you know, most people love Thai food. Usually, you see the same items over and over again, kind of done in the same way. And of course, you know, it's still good sometimes and not great other times, but they do it a little differently. I guess it's street style with different, you know, ingredients. Yeah, they're wonderful.
We love it. Very impressed with that outfit. And they have a little steak dish. What was it called, Susan?
Oh, I don't remember.
Make you want to slap your mama. It was so good.
That's a barbecue term.
Yeah.
Was it the beef? It's like a beef panang,
Yeah, that's it.
It is awesome there. Yeah, I love that restaurant so much. I ranked every dish in our last Best of the Valley issue. I tried all 24 of them.
Yeah.
And then went, you know, one is 24 because I'm obsessed with lists. But yeah, that's a good place. Yeah, you know, I remember working at the East Valley Tribune when I first moved to Arizona in 1998. And my boss, my editor, took me to Waldo's straight away. And it instantly became my favorite barbecue place in the Valley. You and Honey Bear's actually back in the day, because I lived downtown. So I went to Honey Bear's a lot. And one thing I loved was you had a skillet and you put the barbecue sauce on the skillet and heat it up and kind of serve that with the pulled pork, for instance. I just thought that was awesome. Because I'm a barbecue sauce addict. Do you still have a Waldo's, or is it still around?
It's still there. I sold it to, I took a young man as my partner, 15 years ago, and eventually sold it to him, and tried to semi-retire.
Right.
And
you tried to get out like Al Pacino in The Godfather. You tried to get out.
Yeah. And that's one of the few original to, good authentic barbecue we did, as we serve the sauce on the side.
Right. You don't dump it over.
Correct. Frank purchased that from me and he's doing a good job. It's still there. He's got great pulled pork.
Yeah. You have great pulled pork. It actually appeared in that dish specifically in our 101 Best Dishes in the Valley issue. Now, you talked about recently, which came out, it's the current issue. You talked about getting out of the business, then you came back in, and the new place is different. It has more of like a Texas smokehouse feel? Like, explain the difference between barbecue 30 years ago and barbecue now. Like, how is it? It seems more brisket oriented in a lot of ways.
Well, Texas has taken the prize on pushing their concept across the country. And we were more like a Memphis, Tennessee barbecue place in 1993 when I started. A lot of pulled pork, and we didn't actually do brisket. We did beef shoulder clod, and called it pulled beef.
Right.
And
is that the kind of sauce too? Like Tennessee sauce is more tangy.
Well, we actually have close to the same sauces, but Honey Bear's is more like that. I love their sauce. I could drink it.
Carolina is more tangy.
Yeah, with a little vinegar in it.
That's right, Carolina.
They don't like to put tomatoes. They think that's obscene to put a tomato in sauce.
Right, they do what they call the white sauce, right? In Carolina, it's really, really vinegar dominant.
Yeah, yes. But barbecue Texas takes the prize, is pushed have done such a great job with brisket that it's moving across the country.
Is that what excited your imagination and inspired you to get back into the barbecue business?
Yeah. I was primarily a pork guy. I was a pig farmer, a pork producer in my first life in Snowflake, Arizona.
Oh, yeah.
And dad sold the farm out from under me, and I had come home from college early, and I'd sold my soul to that family farm. So I really was lost on what to do. And I had bought a pit in Oklahoma from Oklahoma Joe's. I actually bought it in Des Moines, Iowa at the Pork Expo 1992. And I drug it home and started cooking for family parties and cook for our bank, family reunions, employees.
Anything to stay close to pork.
Correct. So I thought, aha, I'll just go to the valley and open up a barbecue joint. And I was a farmer. I had a lot to learn.
Right. And barbecue's not easy. I mean, it's about nuance in terms of how you cook it and how long it, you know, the temperature, the moisture, everything. I mean, how long before you felt like you had a good command of it, you know, after you opened a restaurant?
You know, for pulled pork's pretty well indestructible meat. It's a bit of a no-brainer.
It's pork butt, right? Pork shoulder?
Correct. I do know why they call it pork butt. It's a long story, but it is actually a pork shoulder.
Is it a funny story, Clay, or, you know, should we save it for later?
Well, they call them butt. They put them in containers called butts.
Oh.
Where was I at before? the nuance comes from brisket. Now, I don't think I was there on brisket for 20 years, if you want to know the truth. We had some bad habits. We on the beef side, pork isn't grated like beef. Pork butt's a pork butt.
Right.
You don't have prime, choice, or select.
Right.
Now you get into beef, we're pretty unsophisticated about our brisket. We bought the cheapest stuff we could find, maybe even no roll.
You're talking about Waldo's.
Yeah, at Waldo's. And
it just wasn't the focus back then.
Correct. We're even buying other cuts of meat. We're buying beef shoulder clod Went to Texas. Had a friend that took me back on my first trip, and it was just a kind of come to Jesus moment, is what I like to say.
Texas brisket can be that good.
Oh yeah, they
created what they called the Central Texas Barbecue Tour, and they named these spots, and they'd go around in 72 hours and hit about 12 spots.
That sounds like going to Mecca, Medina.
Yeah.
You know, you're doing a transformational kind of experience. Was Franklin's one of them?
It was, but we couldn't get into Franklin. We were on a pretty tight schedule. We drove by the line and said, who wants to do that for 4 hours? It wasn't until about the fourth time I did this tour that I got into Franklin's. I literally got a hotel room 200 yards away, downtown Austin.
Right.
Rolled out of bed at 7.
It was pouring rain. And it was on a Thursday morning. And he told me, I'll call you when you have to come down. Take your time. And he went down there. And then he called me and says, you better get down here or else they're going to kick me out of the line. And so I ran down there. It was like just a block away. But on a Thursday morning, pouring rain, line was wrapped around the building, but Clay was right up there at the front. And so
like getting Beatles tickets or something.
Yeah. It was. I was number 18 talking to a guy from London, England. Got made friends I still remember him. Someone from Pennsylvania, one from London. Anyway, we were in line, and at 10 o'clock, they close the line and they take your picture and put on a wall of shame, they call it.
Yeah.
So I had to call my wife and get her down there. I didn't want to end up on the wall of shame our first visit. The only one they've ever let cut
in line was the president, President Obama, when he came through.
One oh, really? Well, you know.
They've had some famous rappers roll up in their limos and try to get in line, and they
Kanye, shoot them down.
Yeah, Kanye, they
Well, you know, if you like, it's an entourage thing at that point, right?
Yeah,
you gotta nip that in the bud.
We expected the brisket to be good, but and I'm from Texas, so I've eaten brisket all my life, know, and so we thought, okay, we'll try some more good brisket. But I'm not kidding. The very first bite, our jaws dropped open, and we just looked at each other and said, "Oh my gosh, this is the best we've ever had in our lives." And
it's weird, isn't it?
It's kind of like caramelized.
Really good brisket.
Oh, it's so good.
It just clicks. Yeah. So how did it go from that experience to opening the restaurant?
Well, I was retired basically, and I thought, more time than money, and getting a little bored with life, and thought, you know, I can do this. I'm going to have to repent, humble myself, and do a better job. But I can do this, and I want to do this. And literally came home and went and visited Scott Holmes, a little miss, who's also a disciple of Franklin's, and studied the pits, the plans. Like, in fact, I was on my belly taking a picture of Scott's pits one morning, and he was talking to my son. He didn't know it, but he said, "That guy's making me nervous."
Yeah, really. He's reverse engineering my stuff here.
Yeah. So, and there's a openness with the barbecue guys. If you go talk to Aaron Franklin, he'll tell you anything you want to know. Scott's basically the same way.
It's great.
People roll into my place, and we just spill the beans. In this new world of the internet, it's hard to keep secrets anyway.
Right. No, it's we get that with food criticism. Like, there's no anonymous dining critics anymore. Everybody's out and proud these days. You know, you mentioned Little Miss Barbecue. Your brisket and Little Miss Barbecue's brisket were our number one and two briskets in our Best of the Valley issue last year. We brought Scott Passmore from Channel 3 to the morning show to do a judge. And we got 8 briskets, what we thought were maybe the best in the Valley. And lo and behold, you guys and Little Miss Barbecue were in the finals, and he picked you guys. You are our champion brisket, so your stuff is obviously legit. Scott's from the South. He knows what he's talking about. So that's great. So you started the restaurant. You hired some good talent. I know you have a pit master who knows what he's doing. What's his name? I forget.
Jimmy Perez.
That's right.
And now we've got another gentleman here that's doing a great job for us. Steve Taylor.
He's really good.
And we've got a man from the Philippines, Doy, who also is a great pit master.
Awesome.
Doy's a trained chef, but he learned the barbecue, or he learned from Jimmy on how to do the smoking.
Does he ever do that Filipino style? It's a lechon, it's called. It's a pork.
No, not yet.
Ask him about that.
He works part-time at other places, and we see he's a meticulous chef. He has beautiful products. We see pictures on the internet, and he also helps with my flowers here. I have this theory that you can't make good barbecue if you can't keep flowers alive. And
oh, God. Like I'm in trouble then.
Yeah, right. So, no, that's interesting. It's almost like a biodynamic thing, right? You have the live flowers and the barbecue at the same time.
Yeah, well, you have a few minutes, you can go pick the dead leaves off, and you can water them, and just look at it, pay attention. It's the same principles in watching your barbecue.
That's a beautiful concept. It's almost I kind of imagine, you know, like a sushi chef or something, you know, making sure the plants were good, then getting into the sushi. It kind of keeps everything in balance.
Then.
Yeah, that we love that analogy, because we're just watching Cobra Kai right now. So
there you go. Great show. I love how I wish they make Daniel more of the villain. I mean, they kind of do already, but I love that flip flop. Like, Daniel's like been kind of poisoned by success, and now Johnny's the one who. Anyway, whatever, we get in that later. It's been great talking to you guys. We are looking forward to seeing you at Dish Fest at the end of February. If you can go on our website, phoenixmag.com, if anyone's interested in checking that out. It'll be Caldwell County and their wonderful stuff, along with about 30 other restaurants we're anticipating. So should be fantastic, most of which were in our recent issue. As a segment where we talk about a dining trend happening nationally, and we think about it. What do you got for us this week, Leah?
Yeah, so this week, you might have heard about it. It was pretty jaw-dropping news in the food community. A big shipping container coming from Europe, sunk in the Atlantic Ocean. And so there are two cookbooks on it. So these two cookbook authors lost all of their cookbooks.
Oh, no.
So their release dates have been pushed back. And they're like big name cookbook authors, like Melissa Clark from the New York Times. And then the guy who runs Turkey and the Wolf, which is a big deal in New Orleans. It's a really nice American place. So there've been all these memes about, you know, Jaws reading the cookbooks and learning how to cook, and, you know, fun Photoshop under the sea.
Now the squid are going to take over.
Yes. So if you have a chance, look up the memes. They're very funny. And then definitely support those poor cookbook authors when their cookbooks come out.
That's fun. That's interesting.
Would you guys ever do a cookbook?
Yeah. Would you ever write one?
Well, that'd be up to my wife. We're using a lot of her recipes. And she's their family recipes.
They're just old family recipes.
So, okay, now we're getting down into it. We're drilling a little deeper. So a lot of what we've enjoyed at Waldo's in Caldwell County are from your family, Susan?
Not so much Waldo's. I came on the scene more towards the Caldwell County barbecue.
Right. And,
but yeah, there's about 3 or 4 family recipes.
Oh, cool. Are we talking like the sides or the, you know, mains?
The pecan pie is one. It's a little bit different. Doesn't have the gel with the pecans on top. The pecans are just mixed in, all chopped up.
Right.
And the corn casserole is definitely an old family recipe.
Oh, I like that. I like the way that sounds. I didn't try it when I came in. Is it it's a casserole made out of corn?
Yeah, it's about, I guess a lot of people have been calling it corn pudding, but it's like the consistency of mashed potatoes, and it has corn and green chili. And
I nickname it butter pudding.
Ooh, I like that.
I see
Leah nodding, you know, maniacally almost. I think it's sort of up her alley.
I love all of that. And I'm a pecan pie connoisseur, so I must visit you and sample your wares.
Yeah, I'm a fan too. I mean, the Black Mountain, what's that place called in?
Rock Springs, yeah,
which is my favorite pecan pie, and I guess it's sort of the quasi valley. It's not really the valley, but the way you describe it sounds very nice as well. Maybe a little different, less sweet, more sweet, because pecan pie has a kind of reputation being very sweet.
Yeah, you know, ours is in the middle of the road. I was just noticing last time we've had supply chain issues, and we have had to use a different pie pan. And it's shallower. It's actually hard to get aluminum, disposable aluminum pie pans. And
right.
And it's changed it slightly. It was a little less sweet.
Maybe it's in the shipping container at the bottom of the ocean with all those cookbooks.
Crazy world.
Yeah. it was great talking with you guys and learning a little bit about, you know, the story of barbecue. And it really is interesting how it's evolved over, you know, the last couple of decades. And you guys were right on the forefront there. So thank you for coming in. I know you got a business meeting in a couple minutes here, and it was great having you.
Thanks, you, Craig.
Nice to meet you, Leah.
Leah.
Nice to meet you, yes.
We'll see everyone next week.
All right.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.